title of this episode is called Copper versus Diamonds.
Hello again, and welcome to This Must Be the Matrix podcast. And my name is Dante Griffin, and I am here with my wonderful, extraordinary guest, Mr. Anthony Benson. This is my brother from another mother. Hey, bro, how are you?
I'm well, and yourself?
Oh, man, I am great. I'm awesome. I'm just glad that I had an opportunity to have you on the show tonight.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I really do feel like this must be the Matrix that I'm on here.
Yes, it must be the Matrix, man. Like, hey, man, we go back a few years, man. You know, yes, so, yes. Oh, man, I had the pleasure of not only just being friends with you, but being able to work with you. So that right there in itself just, you know, it makes friendships even more cohesive.
Yes,
so today we're just gonna kind of like go into subject matter of something called copper versus diamonds. And we've been bouncing this thing back and forth between us, kind of trying to figure it out, and I think we can lay some groundwork to it.
Yeah, I think we can too.
All right. So basically the episode is really about like the value of yourself, the value of time and your processes. And you know, I just wanna go in, man, and look at it. Let's take a look at it.
Let's open it up.
All right, so I have a small spiel that I wanted to kind of put in there, which is although we all as humans have the same amount of time and hours in a day, but we tend to spend them very differently. Wow. So we spend our times differently, and we focus on different things, and the things that we focus on sometimes don't yield us the results that we're looking for. Right. So I wanna kind of like investigate how do we actually get the things that we want out of life. Mm. Yeah.
So I would like to look at it from the law of attraction standpoint. You know, the time and the energy that you're putting into things is going to mm-hmm. create the reality that you're looking for. So when you talk about the time and the investment and the difference in between people, between successful people and not successful people, and mm-hmm. the difference in results, it must be that something of how they are investing their time and manifesting the results that they want to create the reality that they want to see. They're focusing all their energy, their thought patterns, how they talk, everything that they do is directed towards attracting the environment and things that they want to manifest for themselves. Yeah. And that's really the best way I think that we can really try to look at that and try to look at what are we putting our energy to? What are our thoughts like? What are our patterns? What are our habits? What are we really investing our time in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that word you said, manifest.
Yeah,
you know, it almost takes it to this almost esoteric type of thought and everything. Because people are like, well, how do you mean manifest?
Yeah, manifest. Yes,
right, right. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, really, I do mean manifest, and yes, it is kind of esoteric. You know, I'm a kind of esoteric kind of guy sometimes. But yes, we are creators, and that's what we have to really remember about ourselves, is that our reality that we have around us isn't by chance. We shape it, and we mold it, and we make decisions every day that affect it and impact and shape and mold what we have in front of us. So if you don't like the results you're getting, and you don't like the environment that you're in, the only one that can really change it is you. You are the creator of your environment. You are the master of your ship. You know, and what we always say is, you know, it's not really what's outside the boat that really sinks the boat. It's what the person allows in. So if you're investing your time in things that are sinking your boat, aka not getting you the results that you want, you really have to look at what are you putting out there and what are you allowing in with your time that's sinking your boat.
Right, right. Man, when you think about the way you put that, man, it's a boat, man. You're on a boat and you're in the middle of the water, and it's like, oh my God, I don't want something to sink my boat. I'm not the best. I'm not the best swimmer in the world. But
me neither.
But you said it, like, hey, what you put in your boat? Like, I want to be able to survive. I want to stay alive. And when you said we're creators, and I believe that adamantly, because you know God is the master creator, and we are His little creators.
Right.
And when you said manifest, we actually do shape and mold some our vision and our dreams. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of a scripture in the Bible where it talks about faith, and it says faith is the substance. You know, faith is it's an invisible thing. Pretty much,
right.
I'm just
paraphrasing things unseen.
Right. Faith is the, you know, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And
right.
So when you're not, this is actually a substance, which is a thing.
Right.
It's not physical, but it can become physical. So
yes.
Yeah.
It can be manifested.
It can be manifested.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, tie that bad boy right back in, man, because we do manifest our reality. And what people tend to get stuck on is the fact that they feel like they don't have any control.
Right.
And yeah, and that it's really outside of who they really are.
Right.
Yeah. You know it. Uh-huh.
And for, you know, our listeners who may not be theologians or may not be so inclined to believe in the God that we believe in, you can even look at it also from a clinical standpoint. You know, therapists, I mean, they do cognitive behavioral therapy because they are believers that changing the way that you cognitively think about a traumatic event and speak about a traumatic event and perceive a traumatic event will yield and manifest positive results in you declining symptoms of depression, anxiety, and other maladaptive coping skills that the person may have created to deal with the traumatic event. So if science believes
yes,
we can manifest and we can cognitively, which means in our mind is a very powerful creator of scenarios, and if we replay scenarios and replay traumatic events in a certain way that can affect us, then that tells you right there that traumatic events can manifest and affect you, right? That
yeah.
So cognitively, so we can look at it from that standpoint too. So this isn't a new concept, you know?
No. My goodness, man. I love the way you put that together, because it, you know, getting back to who we are as our components, the spirit, the mind, and the body, all of those things are connected. And we're really truly just spiritual beings having a human experience.
Right.
And you know, sometimes it can be confused that we're more mental than anything. No, we're actually more spiritual, then we're more mental than we are physical.
Right. I would agree.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree, you know, on being able to, you know, control, if you can control your spirit, which we possess a mind and we have a body. This body is something that helps us manipulate the physical world,
right?
You know, and it is subject to what we think about.
Of course, definitely.
So that science of, you know, therapy and being able to control your thoughts.
Yes,
you know, it's real.
It's real.
It is real.
Very real. And so, you said something interesting. You said the mind, body, and the soul. And that's also something that science acknowledges in certain ways, you know, social sciences, as far as holistic approaches that have come about in social work and other counseling modalities, you know, working with those three levels of man, those holistic levels. They want to be the complete person and really work with them on all levels to can really give them the most possible chance to have the most possible positive outcomes.
Exactly. So outcomes, you said something that was really powerful. Outcomes. People want results.
They do.
And they sometimes they get stuck based on the results that they've been having, and it's like, I've been consistently having the same result. Now, it's 2020. And what is the first part of the year people start like having these New Year resolutions?
I'm going to the gym this year, Dante.
Yeah, I'm going
this
to the
year,
gym.
I'm going to do it.
Six-pack abs tone. Right. It's going to be six-pack abs.
The New Year's resolutioners.
Yeah. So how long does that last?
Oh, man. That lasts for about maybe a solid week, maybe. At max. At max. If they're consistent with that week, maybe a week.
So you mean to tell me that people who have these New Year resolutions, they it's going to be New Year, new me, and I'm going to go into the gym and I'm going to work out and I'm going to get this six pack and I'm going to be ready for the summer, man.
That's about a week, man, because they get into something we call the process, man. After a while, you know, you got the motivation, you're motivated, you're locked in, you can see the goal, you're like, yeah, six-pack abs, but then you get into the work, you get into the process, you get into the things that don't feel good, you get into the shortcomings, you get into the failures, you get into, you know, the haters, the things that distract you, and then you say, oh, man, before you know it, they done paid a whole year at Planet Fitness and only went once. Only went 1 week.
I'm just going to tell you right now, stop talking about me, Tony. Stop talking about me, man.
They paid that $20 a month and only went 1 week.
Man.
Or $10, whatever membership they got. You know, depends on what membership they got.
Hey, look, man. All I can say is stop talking about me, man. I paid
I'm talking about me, too.
Look, I paid a few visits to the gym. You know, right. And I tried to stick in there with that process, but just like you said, the process,
man,
the process is difficult. You can always have, you know, a good hindsight on certain things and say, well, hey, yeah, I was able to do certain things and get to this point, but when you were actually going through the process.
Right.
You are actually experiencing the difficulty of it. Mm-hmm. And so I've been promising my listeners pretty much an overview of a tool that we use in our daily life, the awareness wheel.
Okay.
Because when you brought up the process, that's what deters people. They don't want to go through the process. I want microwave results for my abs because I don't want to have to eat for my abs.
Right.
I want to still be able to eat my cookies and ice cream. You know, I want to be able to come home and relax, not go to the gym.
Right.
You know, but that's not the way it works, right?
No, it's not the way it works at all. You know, they say abs are made in the kitchen, not in the gym. So you can be able to get those cookies, man.
Yeah, I know.
But the truth is, you need both. You need the kitchen and the gym.
I do. And that's a part of the process. When you were just talking about was, you know, the distractions, the discouragement. So the awareness wheel has components on it that actually help us to put this process in a workable form so that we could actually see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, can you help me walk around this wheel, kind of like, you know, describe the wheel to my listeners?
Okay. So the first part of the wheel normally deals with thoughts. And that's really how we're thinking about the issue, what we're thinking about the matter, decision-making processes. That's normally where we start. You know, what am I thinking about whatever it is I'm trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is kind of guides our decision-making process, is kind of how I like to look at it, because then it dictates our action, what we're going to do eventually.
Right.
Right. So that's the first part of the wheel, is really getting our thoughts and looking at what am I thinking right now, right? And then the next part of the wheel goes into the feelings part of the wheel. So these are our emotions. These are, what am I feeling in the moment right now? Mm-hmm. Or also can be, what is it that I want to feel as well? But mostly, what am I feeling right now in this moment? And then we can get later to the next part of the wheel that goes with want or desire. And sometimes right here, we draw a heart around this part of the wheel, because you want to say, this is the heart of the matter for the person. This is what the person really was trying to get for themselves. This is what they really desire out of the whole issue, what they're thinking about, and what we're going to get to later, which is next, we come to, what did they do? The action. Right. Action, the action part of the wheel. Mm-hmm. And normally the problem is we skip. Normally we get a thought, you know, it's the first thing that happens. We get a thought about something, right? Then we get a feeling about what we thought about. And then we skip to an action. What are we going to do about what we thought and felt? And that creates the last part of the feeling well for us. That creates an outcome. Now, our outcomes are either positive for us or negative, or you can reframe that and put the beneficial and not so beneficial for us, mm-hmm. right? So we skip over the heart of the matter or what we really wanted to get out. So I know you have examples up your sleeve, Dante, that you could give us about how this process can unfold so that our listeners can really see how I just generically mapped out this process, how it can be.
Man, like, I want to go back to those abs, man. I really do. it's only because it's a more relatable example, you know, especially since it's 2020 and people right. want to, that the first thing they want to do is work on themselves physically.
Right.
And they kind of negate the fact that when you want to do something to alter your physical, you have to change what you're thinking and how you actually move in order to change that physical. So I love the way you broke down the wheel, those five components. Of course, the thoughts, you know, it's like, oh, it's a new year, a new me.
New year, same me.
Right. Well, if you say new year, same me. No, new year, new me. And so I feel great right now. You know, right. I feel motivated, man. And the thing is, I seen the gym membership. It's only a dollar. Hey, I think they said 10 cent.
Oh, they said, oh, wow.
They said 10 cent to sign up and $10 a month. This is Planet Fitness, man. And they're in there and they're working out. And I'm like, man, they're sweating. And I'm seeing people with muscles. And I want that. So I got 10 cent and I could pay $10 a month. Right. So I'm excited. So the thought is, it's a new year, new me. And the feeling is, I'm excited. Because, you know, the feeling is what? One word, right?
Right. One word.
One word. So I'm excited.
That's key, Dante. That's key. It's one word.
Right. Anything more than that, it's a thought.
Right. I asked you what you were thinking. I want to know how you felt.
Okay, so I'm going to go past the excitement and just go, I'm exhilarated. That's right. Another, it's upscaled word for my right. excitement. So I'm exhilarated. And so what I do is I rush into the gym and I sign up for that plan. But, you know, now I want to know when I'm going to get these abs.
Right. The process ensues.
Oh, man. Wait a minute. Work. No, but I paid for the plan, and the plan is supposed to get me the abs. So that's what happened with me.
Right,
I was. It was a new year, new me, or actually, it was new year, same me.
New year, same me.
I was exhilarated. Mm-hmm. I ran in and I signed up for this gym membership. I think it was last year. Year before last. And I was so motivated. I was like, yeah, I'm paying my money each month. And I got no results.
Wow.
And the reason why was, I think I went to the gym a couple times.
Right.
And, you know, then things started distracting me. Mm-hmm. And life started happening. Like, oh yeah, I promise I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to probably put in about an hour each day. And then I got distracted and said, well, okay, maybe I can just slide into the gym and I'll do 45 minutes. So a couple days I did a 45 minute training and I come back out to the car and go home.
Right.
But I still didn't get the results I wanted. I was looking for better cardio. I was looking for, you know, more relief for my back. Mm-hmm. And it was hard. So my mind started shifting. I was like, yeah, I don't know about this.
Right. And I don't know about
that. That was my thoughts. Like, I started, I don't know about this. That was my thought. And right. the way I started feeling was, tired. Pain. I'm serious. That stuff hurts. I'm going back to my thoughts. It hurt.
Right.
And I know it hurts to build muscle because you're using something that you haven't used in a long time. And I didn't get the result. So I was like, yeah, this don't feel good.
Right.
So my outcome was not going as often. And I didn't get the results that I wanted.
Yeah, you didn't get the abs, which was the heart of the matter for you. You really wanted the abs and the better back pain relief and better cardio. Those were the heart of the matter for you.
Those were the heart of the matter. But the thing was, I didn't know the work that I needed to go into. I didn't know what the process. Work was going to look like. Yeah, that process looked a whole lot different than those end result abs. If I could buy those and put them in, I still wouldn't respect the process.
Right.
Yeah. So that brings us back around full circle to understanding the title of this episode, Copper versus Diamonds. Do I want to just take the easy way out, or do I want to take, you know, what's readily available to me rather than work for what it is that I really truly desire for myself?
Right. Because people have to really understand that diamonds are created deep, deep, deep down in the earth under intense pressure. And they're not perfect. All diamonds, true diamonds, real diamonds, not ones made in the laboratory with lasers and whatnot, have imperfections in them. Birthmarks is what they call them. You can see feathers in them, dirt. They have... that means that the process can be painful. It's going to be some cuts and some bruises. It's going to be some failures, some shortcomings. It's going to be some haters. It's going to be some naysayers. It's going to be some difficulties. It's going to be some inconveniences. It's going to be some financial burdens. Mm-hmm. That's the process, you know, and we're really trained to, whenever something happens that we don't like, we get a headache, we take medicine. Right? Something happens to it that's painful. We're trained to do something to dull the pain, but we're not trained to see what's on the other side of the pain. Right. I mean, there's two sides to pain. You know, there's the pain and the suffering. There's the grieving and the loss. There's the grueling. There's the burning and the ripping of muscles.
Oh.
But on the other side is where you get to have the results of your success and your victory of having what it is that you would want to have by getting through the other side of pain, which aka going through the process. Now, this process doesn't mean that, okay, we are just going to disregard copper opportunities because they're copper and I'm better than that. No, it's more like, okay, I've got to stay single pointed, which I'm pretty sure your listeners may have already heard or will hear, and stay focused on what it is I'm going to do. And I'm not going to allow distractions and naysayers and headers deter me from me attacking. I want to use attacking and manifesting whatever it is I want for myself each day, daily. And that's the part of the process that a lot of people have trouble with, the consistency part. Every day, waking up and doing that thing that they said they were going to do to get to where they want to go.
Right.
And not really just always looking at the end picture, Dante. The abs can't be the picture that you're looking at, because that's not going to sustain you. And that's why a lot of people, when they have these New Year's resolutions, it's always something lofty, like, this year I'm going to lose 50 pounds. And that's unsustainable. It's unrealistic to think in that way, because there's a lot of process that comes in that process.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of them just looking at it and say, all right, this week my goal is to lose a pound. Okay, that's realistic. That's something way more achievable. You know, it's realistic for them. And that's something that the more they achieve, the more goals they meet, they can actually give them more motivation beyond that 1 week.
That is so true. And, you know, man, you said a mouthful, brother. You have. And we are by nature creatures of comfort, you know.
Oh, yes.
And we love creature comforts. You know, we got to have our high speed internet. We got to have our streaming apps. We have to have the AC pumping. We gotta have the internet jumping all the time. it has to be immediate.
Immediate gratification.
Yeah.
Accessibility, whatever makes it easier.
Exactly. And so this brings me back to when I was a young man, and I was thinking about when I was in the gym, when I was working out in the gym, I learned to fall in love with the pain. When you said the ripping and tearing of muscle, it was not comfortable. I used to work out in the gym, and I had two other friends that I would work out with, and we called ourselves, don't laugh, we called ourselves the Bench Press Masters.
Oh my God.
And the thing was, we just, we challenged each other. And we challenged each other. So when the summer came up, we were focused on, like, I got to get better so that when I come back and we do our measuring, that I'm leaner and my muscle mass is bigger than those other two guys.
Right.
And so what I realized was that focus was completely wrong. Because when you compare yourself to someone else, you're actually setting yourself up for failure.
Most definitely.
Yeah. What I realize is that what happens when that other person decides, hey, you know, I don't want that no more. And you're gearing yourself towards that person and say, I want to be bigger, or I'm going to be better. And they just say, well, that's not what I desire anymore. So what happens to you? So my thought was, now I am my biggest challenge. You should be challenging yourself.
Definitely.
Yeah. Don't base your life on what we see other people having and doing. And, you know, I'm looking at, you know, the social media movement and how magazines and social media has us looking at these results that other people claim they have.
Right.
And next thing you know, you're working towards their life goal, and then you lose yourself.
Right. Social media is very good at portraying lives of people that they really don't even live. And we measure our standards of living based upon other people's standards. And that creates anxieties, depressions. It creates all types of effects that we were talking about earlier, cognitively, because we feel as though we're not achieving. We feel as though we can't measure up. We start measuring ourselves up to what we see, where, you know, these things are just not even realistic for ourselves, because it's not for us. It was for somebody else. I need to say that again. It wasn't even for us. You know, it was for somebody else, and it was never really something that we desired. It was just something that we saw. We felt the pressure, you know, the societal pressure through a construct to perform a certain way, to be a certain way, because that's what Instagram said, and that's what Facebook said. You know,
right.
That's what was trending on Twitter. You know, I've never been one of those. I'm not a conformist, man. I just can't. Like, if everyone's wearing purple, you know, I got to wear green. Like, I just can't. You know, I'm one of those guys, man. I can't just do what everyone else is doing.
Oh,
you know,
man.
I just can't. When everybody's rocking Jordan, I had to get something different on. You know, I can't do it. But that's what we're talking about here.
Right. It is. And so, understanding that the process of the awareness wheel actually allows us to put it in, like, visual terms of us being able to see how we're moving. Like,
right.
Yeah, you know, those thoughts of having six pack abs, wonderful thoughts. But when I wanted to, I jumped over into the action category, and I didn't think about what the outcome was going to be. Based on, okay, if I just go and pay for this plan, I'm going to have these six pack abs. That's what that's what I thought. But I didn't weigh, what do you say? The Bible said to count the cost. You know, you got to count the cost before you take on an undertaking. And
right.
What I learned as a machinist in my past was, measure twice, cut once. And it means the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Measure twice, cut once. So that way, when you measure it, you're sure.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and
so
we can put it in other terms too, and just say, make sure that your decisions or your goals or whatever you're striving for is realistic.
Right.
It was an unrealistic thought to think that paying for the plan was going to give you the results that you wanted for.
Yeah, man. I just wanted it to be easy.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to have to go through all of that pain and sweat, man.
The dedication in the gym and the kitchen that it would take.
Oh,
the self-restraint, the self-control, you know?
Yeah, I didn't think about that. It is tough. And so what I want listeners to actually go and once they leave this podcast, I want them to actually be able to understand that they could actually map out their process and not feel stuck. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason why I even created this podcast is to help people to understand awareness and also their connection to the creator. So when you came on, you were just saying, hey, we are creators and we can manifest what it is that we desire. But it's going to take some work.
Right.
You know, so this copper versus diamonds, like, do you want to take the shortcut? Because there's plenty of pennies out here. You can find one on the ground. But where will you ever find a diamond just sitting on the ground?
Right.
They just like you said, they are under the earth, under intense, immense pressure. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So they're under that intense pressure, and they're created by challenge.
Yes, adversity.
Yeah.
Challenge, adversity, shortcomings, all that.
So when we go through the awareness wheel and we say, well, hey, you know what, this new year, I want to make a change, a lifestyle change. And it's not based on, you know, Kim Kardashian's fashion or right, or based on what's a guy that we could base ours on.
Jay-Z.
Yes, right.
Business mogul ideas for 2020.
Exactly. Like, I can't base myself on Jay-Z.
Okay.
And she can't base herself on Kim Kardashian or whoever, you know, because a lot of the stuff that we see is not real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying that Jay-Z's money's not real, because I'm pretty sure his money's is right. real. But when you think about these unrealistic body goals that, you know, I'm seeing that our young women have challenging their self,
mm-hmm.
Loving themselves, because, like, well, wait a minute, what's this thing with Lizzo in the media?
Mm.
Yeah, she went to a basketball game. And, you know, she's a big proponent of self-love. And a lot of people criticized her outfit choice.
Right.
Yeah. But I kind of wanted to go into her process a little bit deeper, you know, just to think about, well, she did this for something. You know, she didn't just... she didn't just do it on a whim. Like, I mean, I'm just going to do this on a whim. She did it for something. She was trying to get something for herself. She's trying to do something for herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's identify what it is that maybe Lizzo was trying to do for herself.
Well, I like to preface it by saying, you know, the body conceptions and beauty standards are. And research and data would tell you that it's all socially constructed in patriarchal society. And to say that, to break that down in layman's terms, means male-dominated society
mm-hmm.
constructs what we consider to be beautiful and what we consider to be acceptable for females to do, which creates intense pressure mm-hmm. and intense chains for females to try to emulate. And it creates a harmful experience for young teenage girls who are trying to grow up, and they decide that now they become bulimic or they have different eating disorders that can be associated with social media and these type of mindsets because of this intense pressure. So to me, when I see Lizzo doing her thing, it's more of a breaking of the social constructs, breaking away from patriarchal society and what it says is the norm and the standards of beauty, and what are the norm and standards of more, I would say, for women in general, what they can do, you know, mm-hmm. and what they're allowed to wear and how they're allowed to express themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great. I think that she should be who she is, and mm-hmm. you know, and she shouldn't be limited by right. any social construct.
Right. I definitely agree with you around that. You know, mm-hmm. she is fighting the machine.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it definitely. Well, you said it. You said it. You broke it down, brother. You broke it down. But she is definitely fighting the machine. And so when people tend to fight the machine, they get labeled as crazy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just with everything. You know, we are humans. We're creatures of habit. And we mm-hmm. see things that are different. And it can make us uncomfortable when there's change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just do what we know. Until we learn something new, you know, and
yeah,
hopefully this will be something that we'll learn new too.
right. So, you know? So that right there, brings me to another subject that I want to delve into.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if I want to delve into it on this particular podcast, but I think that if we, can come back to that, it's the 7 levels of awareness. Mm-hmm. So with those 5 components of the awareness wheel, if we bring all of those components together, they create awareness, right?
Right.
If we're aware of our thoughts, our feelings, we know exactly what it is that we desire for ourselves, and the actions, here's where we can get assistance. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how to make those 6-pack abs. I didn't think it all the way through. When I went and I got the gym membership, I didn't think that I needed to know how to make abs in the kitchen. I just thought that I could get on the equipment and work out, and then next thing you know, you'll see the abs developing.
Right.
But I still like Oreos and and that kind of like counteracted my ability to create abs. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a lifestyle thing, I think, also. And so coming out on the other end of the outcomes, I didn't feel successful.
Right.
And so when I look at it, you said it could be either a positive or negative. And usually when it's a positive, your awareness expands. If it's a negative, usually you have to make adjustments.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm in a place now where I have to make some adjustments. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to now think about what it is that I really, really want. Are 6-pack abs possible for me? Probably not the first go around in the gym, you know, probably not in the first couple months or maybe even years. It all depends on me being able to get into a more healthier lifestyle, which would consist of me having a healthier eating habits, healthier exercising schedules, and even sleep.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't think about sleep, because that plays a big role in developing yourself. Mm-hmm. Not only physically, but also keeping your mental. Man. Wow, I'm going into a reflective state, man.
I saw you. As your voice got lower, I saw you.
yeah. So I'm like, man, you know, this awareness wheel is so powerful. You start looking at your process, and I'm like, wow. I have to look at myself, and I have to see before I go out and just do something.
Right.
Because we'll say what we want, feel excited about it, run out and go do something, and then we think we got something. You know, what is it? I feel this way. I run out and do something, and then we feel stupid about it later. Right. Darn, I wasted a whole year of money.
A whole year.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's on the lighter side of things. But the processes that we are in are multidimensional processes that, you know, gauge around all facets of our life. And this awareness wheel tool can be very, very useful and helpful if we are open to receive. I want people to understand that what you said earlier, people will go back to what they know.
Yes.
You know, and all I can say is that I do know about Oreo cookies and ice cream. And I return to that because it's a comfort for me. Mm-hmm. And I know that it makes me feel good.
Right.
But it doesn't do anything for my abs. It hinders them. Right. It does do something.
You can bring that to a lot of people who are in their current workspace. You know, they do it because they know it and it's comfortable, but mm-hmm. they really a desire to be more successful and to do something different. But to be more successful, to do something different requires a stretching,
and a tearing, and a
breaking free from the comfort zone, so people don't want to do it.
Right.
So they stay where they are comfortably, but then when the curtain finally falls. Ooh. All they're left with is regret and all these things that they wanted to do, but they were stuck doing what they had to do because they never got to do what they wanted to do because they weren't consistent and didn't mm-hmm. get through the stretching process of seeing what was on the other side of pain and getting out of their comfort zone.
Exactly. So comfort zone, I did an episode called "Is the Comfort Zone Killing You?"
Oh yeah. Oh God. I need to go back and listen to that then. it's definitely killing some people out here.
Right, man, you could die in a lap of comfort.
Right.
Because you didn't desire to go beyond yourself.
Yes.
You know, so.
Always chasing the next best thing, the next best version of yourself.
Right.
Always. You know, there's always better, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know?
Mm hmm. Mm hmm. Man, brother, it's like. Oh man, so this episode it's powerful because being able to access your process and look at it mm-hmm. and understand that the way God works, He puts people in your life and they're around you. People have keys to the next level. And so you have to be open to receive. And, you know, I said this in the another podcast that I co-hosted with another podcaster by the name of Tay Speaks. It was an episode called When Healing Appears One-Sided. You listeners have to go back and listen to that episode. Basically, you know, God is like the quarterback. And He wants to get this blessing to you, but you have to get to a position to receive it. Like, and on a football field, you know, the receivers don't walk down the field, do they?
No.
No. So as they're moving down the field, they're running, they're moving. And then they have these other guys that are running alongside. Who are they called?
Say that again.
They have these other guys that are running alongside them, trying to
DBs and the safeties that are defending them.
Right. So they're defending, trying to block the quarterback pass. Mm-hmm. Right. So, but when these receivers are running, they're looking back to see and to receive. They're open. They want to show that they're open.
Right.
And so at that point, you know, God launches this ball to you. You have to show that you're open to receive. So that might look like you not getting offended when a friend comes to you and says, hey, have you considered doing it this way? Instead of becoming, yeah, because we want to defend ourselves, especially in this day and age, we feel like we're under attack,
right?
Rather than receiving like constructive criticism or receiving an option, you know?
Yeah.
I've always stated that people are better with options.
Always.
Yeah. And so when someone presents a different way of thinking about something or different way of doing something, that doesn't mean that they're attacking you as an individual or your process. It just means, hey, maybe you want to consider trying it this way or trying something else, trying something new.
Yeah, I always love it when you use that analogy of, now everybody knows how to hammer, but there's multiple ways to hammer.
Oh, like, there it is.
Yeah, that's to sum all that up, you know, you may know how to hammer, but have you ever hammered this way? You know?
Yeah. Man, I've seen skilled craftsmen pick up a hammer, and I could pick up a hammer, you know, and I could bam bam.
Right.
But if you've seen a skilled craftsman being able to drive a nail with one hit, and I'm like, wait a minute, it took me about three, what? It took me about three or four hits. They knew the exact pressure, the exact angle to hit that nail and drive it straight in.
Right.
Instead, I'm hitting this nail and it's bending, and I'm trying to bend it back up and hitting this nail, and it's not going in all the way. And I see somebody just drive the nail home. Yeah. It's technique, it's skill, it's strategy. And, you know, we can all receive the same... We all receive the same tools. And sometimes we don't even know what the tool can do, you know? Or actually what you can do with the tool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's very important that, you know, people learn how to use this awareness wheel and apply it to their process. Regardless of what your process may look like, being able to measure and have what we call rapid feedback loops.
Right.
Yeah.
The next episode you're going to have to do is, how do we look at someone else's wheel and make sure that we respond appropriately to the decisions that they're making in their wheel so that it doesn't disrupt our process.
Oh.
Another whole thing that would throw off your process.
yes. Oh my goodness, we're definitely gonna have to come back and do that as an episode. But brother, I am so happy and I'm pleased and honored to have had you as a guest tonight.
It was an honor to be here, man. Thank you so much, Dante. Sama.
thank you, Sama, Tony Sama. Brother, it is definitely a pleasure, and I just want to say, we have to do probably a series of episodes.
Yeah, I'm here for many more.
All right, brother, look, you guys heard it. So let's just wrap this up. As always, I just want to say to my listeners, be blessed and transform daily. Thank you very much, Tony.
Thank you.
And we out.
Peace.
Peace. If you enjoyed this episode, please
consider subscribing. 2020 is going to be an amazing year. I'll have on more guests to share their tools and jewels and insight. Remember, be blessed and transform daily.